Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. Today's story is about the legendary Spanish gold of Neocani Mountain. There's this delightful Native American story that tells of a galleon coming to the bluff, just south of Astoria, you know, and its crew burying a mysterious chest there, guarded by the body of a murdered crew member. So is this story true? And, more to the point, has the treasure already been found? This story was first published on August 22nd of 2010. Here we go. Stories about buried treasure are, of course, almost never true. But there's one buried treasure story dating back to the 1600s on the northern Oregon coast that might actually be the real thing. This story has been passed down through generations of Native Americans in the area of Nehalem Bay, and has almost certainly been corrupted over the centuries by exaggerations and simplifications, but here's the gist of it. In the late 1600s, a Spanish sailing ship came into Nehalem Bay. Some versions of the story say it dropped anchor there. In others, the galleon was shipwrecked. Both versions go on to say that a group of men climbed into a small boat and rowed through the breakers to shore. These men then walked straight inland and up the side of a shoreside bluff called Neocani Mountain, carrying a heavy chest. At some point, on the side of the mountain, they stopped, set the chest down, started digging. This whole time, the local natives had been watching with great curiosity. At last, the hole was deep enough, and the chest was lowered into it. Then, apparently knowing that the natives would not disturb a man's grave, one of the bearded strangers drew his cutlass and plunged it into another, a dark-skinned man, apparently an African slave. This unfortunate fellow, once he finished dying, was then tossed in on top of the chest, and man and chest were buried together. From here, the stories diverge again. One has the ship hoisting anchor and disappearing over the horizon. In another, several sailors are left behind to guard the ship, but quarrel with the natives over women and are killed in the ensuing fights. Perhaps the most ludicrous version, which is a shipwreck scenario, has the captain of the ship killing all his crew members who won't fit in the lifeboat, and then setting out on the open sea in it, rowing to Baja California. That version is actually kind of funny when you think about it. A century passed. Then, in the early 1800s, British and American expeditions started to arrive. Lewis and Clark, the Astorian Party, and the Hudson's Bay Company by land, and then Captains Gray and Vancouver by sea. Not in that order, of course. Trading with the natives, they learned of the buried gold. Poor Neocani Mountain hasn't been the same since. One settler after another has become obsessed with the legend and gone to try to retrieve the Spanish gold. People have spent years, decades, whole lifetimes digging hopeful holes in this bluff. In the 1870s, a treasure hunter named Pat Smith found some stones marked with arrows, crosses, and the letters D-E-W, but nothing more. During the 1930s, two treasure hunters even died in the attempt when an excavation they were working on collapsed on them. The legend is still very much alive today. In 2006, a movie was even made about it. The Tillamook Treasure, also known as The Legend of Tillamook's Gold, was an indie children's film that won an impressive bevy of awards. People are still digging holes in this bluff, although a lot of it is going on in secret now, because the part of the bluff owned by Oregon Parks and Recreation is officially off-limits to treasure hunters. But these latter-day treasure hunters may be barking up an empty tree. There's some reason to believe the treasure was real, but was found long ago. It seems that back in the early 1800s, a fur trapper named Thomas McKay arrived with the Astorian Party on the ill-fated sailing ship Tonquin. Here he must have heard about the treasure because after he became an employee of the Hudson's Bay Company, he started coming to the mountain, spade in hand, and working obsessively, digging, scrounging every spare moment. Then, one day, suddenly he walked away from the mountain, quit his job, disappeared. Years later, when he settled at French Prairie on the Willamette River, he seemed oddly flush with cash. Not to the point of being flashy about it, but he was never seemed to be worried about money either, and quite generous with it among his friends, and this was before the 1848 gold rush, at a time when other residents of the Willamette Valley were using bushels of wheat and Abernethy rocks as currency. Could it be that Thomas McKay found that chest, secretly slipped away with it, quit his job, and went somewhere else to enjoy it, free of the notoriety and envy that always seemed to accompany found money? In fact, isn't that what most of us would do? Well, if that's what happened, one has to hope at least that he treated the bones of that poor murdered slave with some respect. Well, that's it for our show for today. This show is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone reader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources used in writing this story, along with more than 200 other articles written over the last 5 years, all organized by date of publication. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising or ask for donations, but if you feel a need to make a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, published by the History Press in 2012. You can order it from the store link on offbeatoregon.com if you'd like, but if you still have a local community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger, especially don't be a stranger if you have a good idea for one of these columns in the future. Speaking of the future, our next show will be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.